We are now joined by our race winner, driver of the number 99 Trackhouse Racing Chevrolet. Daniel, this is your second career win in the Cup Series with a finish that was third closest in Cup Series history. Walk us through those last couple of laps and what you were feeling when you realized that your number 99 Chevrolet crossed that finish line first.
Yeah, it was definitely a special moment. You know, going back actually to a restart, I have to thank actually Kyle Busch because he did a very, very good job giving me some good pushes to take the lead the first time when I was third, and we took the lead together. And then after that, when I picked the bottom in front of him, it worked out good, but the 12 car, the Penske car, they were pretty strong. They were pretty strong, especially when they were close to being together. And the outside line on the back of straightaway came extremely strong, way sooner than what I was anticipating. And the 12 was able to push me, but when he moved me a little bit, he was able to get to my outside. And that's exactly what I didn't want. I didn't want to give him my outside. But at that point, I was racing in second, and I was trying to figure out how to get to him. I almost got to him getting into a tree, but I got very, very loose, and I couldn't actually get there. And when we crossed the white flag, I knew we were going to have a good shot because the two car was behind me, and he was giving me very, very good pushes. And I dragged the brake a little bit on corner two, and I can see him coming with a push. I say, okay, here comes, and my move was going to come after that. But then he slowed down, and I was like, damn it. Like, obviously, he didn't want to help me because his teammate was on the lead. But at that point, the 23 pushed the 8, and the 8 was able to make the move, and I was able to side drive the 8, and that's when the 3 wide, you know, got started. So it was a little crazy. You know, who knows what would have happened if the 2 was actually giving me the push. Maybe, who knows, maybe they were going to pass me back, get X04. I'm just glad we're here with my entire team, Trackhouse, Chevrolet, Freeway Insurance, Cesar over there, CEO of Freeway Insurance, with his entire family. He's been in Victory Lane already twice in 1 month, so he's getting a spoil. And just very happy, you know, very happy. Everyone in Trackhouse worked extremely hard in the off season, and to be able to start the 2024 season this is strong, because last week in the Daytona 500, we finished 32nd or something like that, but we were running up front, and we wrecked running up front, and I feel like we have a strong team, and we're showing that so far in the couple of weeks that we've been racing, so we have to continue to build on that.
All right, we'll go ahead and start with Jordan, and then Steven, and then go to Jonathan.
Thank you. Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Fairly or not, the perception going into the year was you were on the hot seat and needed to perform. Did you feel like you were on the hot seat coming into this year and that you were at risk of losing your ride? And then two, what does this do for your future at Trackhouse?
Yeah, no, I never felt like I was in a hot seat. You know, a lot of people was talking about it, you know, Shane coming on board and then Zane coming on board. But I never felt bad. I knew the last year wasn't the year that I really wanted. I work, you know, people that actually know me, they know how hard I work. And last year, we worked hard, but we were not efficient. You know, we were missing something. We were not firing in all 8 cylinders. And we went to work. In the off season, we went to work, and we changed a little bit our system, the way we do things in a few different areas. And I've been telling Ty, I've been telling Justin, say, man, I can feel the team strong. I can feel the communication, the preparation, everything that we have. Squid, Matt Sudarsky has done a hell of a job helping me to build a strong team, and I can feel it. You know, I can feel it, and I'm happy that we're able to do it early in the season, because, you know, some people actually told me earlier, hey, now you can relax. You know, you're in the playoffs. Hell no. My goal is not to win one race. I want to head into the playoffs with at least a handful of, you know, with a few wins to be able to contend for a championship. This is not relaxing here. This is only the beginning. We have to continue to work, continue to build. We know that there is a few things that we could have done a little bit better today. We learn from that, and we continue to build. I'm happy that we are secure in the playoffs, but to be able to win the championship, you won't do it winning one or two races. You have to win at least a handful of races to create points. and that's the goal for a 99. The goal for me and with the 99 is for you guys not to be surprised when the 99 is in victory lane.
Let's go to Bob, Stephen, and then Jonathan.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first off, can you go through a race like that every week, or is that too intense?
I love it, Bob. I love it. You know, I love competition. I love racing. I woke up every morning with so grateful and so fortunate to be in this position, you know, that I get to do what I love to do. I get to compete with the best of the best every single weekend. And not just that, but I get to do it with an amazing team at Strahouse, with great people that support me and that believe in me. You know, Freeway Insurance, they've been with me already for several years, Coca-Cola, Tootsies, so many people they've been with me for a while, Quaker State, doing a lot of things, supporting me, racing in the NASCAR Mexico Series. I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to have great people around me. And honestly, I love competing. I love this pressure. I love going out there knowing that that we have to perform. I use that as fuel.
So what will this win, do you feel, do for your future, considering, you know, it's quote-unquote just your second Cup win and your first on an oval and first in 58 starts?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's everything about building a good group around me. I truly believe that the last few years with Trackhouse, we have had great group of people working together. I mean, already we were able to win a year and a half ago, and it was amazing. But like I said, you know, the goal for me personally, it has never been to win a race a year, to win two races a year. The goal is bigger than that. And I knew that to be able to get that, we needed to do something, and I feel that that right now we're slowly, you know, making steps in the direction of where I want to be, where I want to go with this race team, that, you know, I want to accomplish, to be able to win several races a year, to be able to be strong in the playoffs, not just to make the playoffs, but to be strong in the playoffs and to be able to have a real shot for the championship. Every single driver today will tell you that they want to go and win the championship, but you really have to work and organize your people, your team, to be real, a real contender.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. Daniel, watching that finish, it made me think of a question that was once posed by a wise man and philosopher. I think his name was Mike Joy, and I'll pose that question to you now. Have you ever been a part of a finish like that?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. At that point, I was, you know, just trying to time the side draft on the 8. I didn't know where the 12 was. I couldn't see the 12. And I thought that I had the 8. I knew it was close, but I had no idea about the 12. No idea. So, you know, at that point, I was just hoping. I saw the tower, and I thought I was first. And they told me we got it, but then we're on the review and said, damn it. So yeah, it's quite a you know, every time that you get to win races is special, but to be able to win it in this fashion, this close, with two other great drivers is quite special.
I know that your first Xfinity win was pretty dramatic too, last lap passion in Michigan, but you know, what sticks out before this, what sticks out is the, you know, craziest finish that you were ever a part of in a race that you won?
I would say either Michigan or my championship race in Homestead when I won the championship. I had a very fast car. We won the pole. We led the most laps, but I had to win it in a restart. You know, I had to restart. I think I restarted fifth, and I had to pass a couple cars to be able to win the race and the championship with two or three laps to go. So to me, that's obviously up there as well. You know, just a crazy finish. But not the actual last lap, but what I had to do to be able to put myself in that position at the very end.
Gotcha. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Jonathan.
Jonathan Vail, the Racing Experts. You know, Daniel, your career's had a lot of twists and turns, and you talked about the people behind you. I mean, what does it mean to have, you know, just those people behind you who are committed to you?
It's very special, man. It's very special, especially because you know, for a young kid coming from Mexico, without speaking English, without friends, without understanding the culture, a lot of people don't really understand, you know. You really have to come from a different place to understand what I had to go through to be able to get here. You know, I had to actually learn English by myself. I had to do a lot of things different, you know, and to be able to make it slowly, you know, to build relationships, to have people help me. It was a journey, you know, it wasn't easy. And today, you know, I'm sitting here and obviously I'm very, very lucky to be in this position, being the only guy in the Cup Series that can actually do an interview in Spanish is quite special to me. But the journey to get here, it has been difficult, and it's been a long one. That's why I always tell people, you know, coming from Mexico or Latin America, that they ask me for an advice and say, hey, man, you have to grind. Like, it won't be easy. Not just because you are going to fight against great drivers, but also because you have to fight the language. You have to fight the culture. You have to fight the connections. You know, my mom, my dad, my the people that advise me every single day, they're not here. You know, I was very lucky that Gustavo Arenas back there, my American grandpa, he was here with me since I moved here, and he took me under his wing. But if it wasn't for him, probably I wouldn't be here today. So I got lucky in many different scenarios, and it's a journey, you know. And to build your team and to understand what you have to do. When I won the championship, honestly, I thought, man, this thing is easy. I got this. I'm gonna go to the Cup Series. I'm gonna kill it. Well, yes, but in the Cup Series, you are racing with the best drivers, with the best pit crew, with the best mechanic, with the best crew chiefs, engineers. So it's not just, oh, talent driver. No, in the Cup Series, every single driver is talented. Every single driver is gifted. So you have to build a good team around you. And I've been very fortunate that Trackhouse believe in me since day one, and they have supported me to build a team around me.
All right, we're going to go to John Newby and then Matt Weaver.
John Newby, NBC Sports. So I was monitoring Ross's radio and a couple other teams, and I was surprised to hear the comment that this raced more like the old 550 package instead of a super speedway. What was your perspective on that?
Could be. I mean, yeah, a little bit. I can really remember everything about the 550 package, but yeah, I had a little bit of feel like this. I think that that the new rules that we have in the geo of the car for super speedways and here in Atlanta actually help the race. I feel like we can get pushed a little better and we can be a little more aggressive. But yeah, it felt a little bit like that. But with that being said, that the intensity of the pack when we were, you know, in the top 10, top 15 running, I mean, the car moves a lot. The car moves a lot. You don't have to be getting pushed to get a lot of movement on the car. Like, handling is extremely important. I would say that even more important than on a super speedway like Daytona and Talladega. So as far as I remember, with the 550 package, we had a little bit more grip than this. So this race is definitely very unique. I think that everyone at NASCAR and they have done a great job, you know, putting a race like this one, because it's different. It's not super speedway, it's not a mile and a half, it's not a 550 package, it's a real hybrid, and it really puts a great show on track.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. I've got two for you, Daniel. I was struck by the number of people that just came to congratulate you in Victory Lane, or even after the race, talking to us in the media. Everyone, even the guys that you beat, were all very complimentary and super stoked for you. What does it mean to you that pretty much everyone in the garage kind of roots for you?
It means a lot. You know, it means a lot because most of those guys, they know, you know, how difficult it is to get here. You know, how difficult it is to get to a Cup Series. We're fighting with the best of the best. And obviously, they also know and recognize that I have had a little different journey than most drivers. And you know, I have a great relationship with Bubba Wallace, with Ryan Blaney, and everyone that I was racing against, and they came to Victory Lane. So all we have is a mutual respect. You know, we know how good we are, and we love racing each other. We love racing hard. And we also respect each other outside the racetrack. So yeah, it's quite special. It goes both ways. The respect is mutual.
And then your spotter, Frankie Kimmel, how valuable and important is he, not only to a race like this, but just in general working with him the last couple of years?
Oh, it's very important. Frankie is one of the best spotters out there. There is a lot of good, talented spotters up in the roof, and I can tell you that he's in the top five. He's a very, very good, talented, young spotter. I remember like it was yesterday, a couple years ago, we gave him a shot. We went to Dover. It was his first race ever, I think, in the National Series, and we finished in the top 10, and right away I knew that he was talented. Yeah, we needed a few tweaks here and there, but he was talented. He's natural. And he's a race car driver. You know, he loves this. He understands what we need to do. So him and I, we connect very well. And I feel like, especially in the last year or so, I feel like our communication and our trust has got to a next level. There was one racer that he said, man, go to the top. We messed up. You know, we lost 10 positions. He said, man, sorry about that. It's part of it. You know, we make decisions. Sometimes are good, sometimes are bad. But at the end of the day, we're not going to point fingers. We're on this together. We win together and we lose together. So in that particular moment, he told me to go up. He thought it was the best thing. It wasn't, but that's part of it. And the same way that he helped me got to victory lane tonight. So it's part of it.
Let's go to Chris Knight.
Chris Knight, GetTrends.com. Daniel, congrats on the win. At some point during the race today, Todd Gilliland said on his radio, it's like going to a haunted house, you know. It's fun, but I'm scared for my life at the same time.
Is
that an accurate way to describe the racing out there today?
It was, man, because you knew there was going to happen something. I mean, everyone, I cannot explain to you guys. I hope that everyone at home and you guys were actually able to see how much movement our cars had, you know, like, we were not comfortable. I mean, I don't think there were many cars going wide open beside the front row car. Like, everyone was driving the cars. It was not easy. Not easy at all. This racetrack is fairly new, and it already has some bumps. So it wasn't easy, but it was great racing, you know. It was great racing. I thought in the beginning of my race, you know, we got wrecked in lap two. Luckily, the car didn't have a lot of damage. We fixed the car. And the car wasn't great, you know. We the front of the car wasn't great. The back of the car, we have to work on it. And that's where I give a lot of credit to Squid, my crew chief, and my engineers Dustin and Troy, that they never gave up. They knew that the car wasn't 100%. They had a little bit of repairs, but they adjusting on it, and they made the car one of the best out there when it counted the most.
Let's go ahead and go to Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Daniel, congratulations and two for you. First, Justin was here earlier. Actually, I think you had just walked in when he was talking about kind of the culture that's been built at Trackhouse, and he mentioned, you know, hard work and passion being two of the main things. Your crew chief Matt said, you know, talked so much about the work that you put in compared to some of the other drivers that he's worked with. What is it about the culture that Justin and Ty and everybody at Trackhouse has built that has made this really the best home that I feel like you've had in the Cup Series?
You're totally right. This is the best home I have had in the Cup Series, and by a mile. You know, Justin, Marks, Ty Norris, they believe in me since day one. And when they called me to join Trackhouse, I was in the bottom. I was in the lowest of lowest of my career. I was struggling a lot. I was losing confidence in myself. And they grabbed me, and they put me back to what I knew at one point that I belong. And they knew that if they were able to give me a shot to build a team around me, I was going to do something good. And that's something that I will be forever grateful to them, you know, to give me that opportunity to build a team around me. Because, like I said, you know, when you're fighting with the best of the best, you have to have all the little things right. And yeah, you know, Matt, he's a very, very passionate guy. Squid, my crew chief, he likes to win. He likes to be competitive. Super smart guy. One of the smartest persons I know. And we work hard. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we come here on the weekends to execute. But the reason why we won today is not just because we execute right. It's for all the preparation that we did during the week. You know, we did a lot of work. We do a lot of work. Matt, Squid, my crew chief, Frankie, Josh Weiss, optimization. We do a lot of work to come here, prepare. And when you are prepared, mentally you already feel like you are ahead. And that's something that is very important. And we've been working very hard to be prepared. And I honestly feel that when I was arriving here in Atlanta, I felt like I was the most prepared driver out there. And if we can do that every week, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to win a lot of races.
The smile's back on your face. I know, you know, it was after Sonoma. You guys made the playoffs in 22. Last year wasn't what you wanted. You know, that's been spoken of a good bit. You mentioned the confidence, though, that they brought to you. Was there ever a point last year, even as you're fighting through a year that wasn't what you wanted it to be, was there a point that your confidence was shaken again, or did you always feel like getting back here was reasonable, was there? It was just kind of circumstances conspiring against you.
You know, we race every single weekend, and when the results don't come, yeah, your confidence start lacking a little bit. You know, the people that know me, they will tell you how confident I am. Like, it's very difficult for me to actually lose trust on myself and to actually lose everything that I know. But it is a little bit. You know, it is a little bit. When you don't win races for a year, year and a half, you're still losing a little bit of confidence. Like, okay, what do I have to do? I know I can drive. What do I have to do? What else do I need to do? And you know, you just have to keep grinding, man. You have to keep grinding, believe in your team, believe in yourself, continue to work in that communication, continue to work on those little things. I came into this team into this year, and I had a conversation with Ty Norris, I had a conversation with Justin Marks, with Cesar Soriano as well, and I told him, we're going to win races this year. I can feel it. We're not even racing yet. I can already feel it. The way that we're working, the way that we're preparing ourselves, it's okay. This is the work that we have to do to be able to go out there and be efficient and fight for wins and championships. And if we can do it early, that would be amazing. And what a better way to do it the second race of the season.
Hey, over here. Ken Zagira, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm curious, on your journey here, you know, coming from Mexico, if you remember, what was the hardest part?
No. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
All good. Anybody else? All right. What was the hardest part? How close did you come to giving up, and what kept you going?
There were so many different situations, man. Like when I came here in 2011, I didn't have anything. You know, I couldn't speak English. I didn't have friends. I didn't have my family. I didn't have sponsors supporting me to say, okay, go out there and buy yourself a ride. I didn't have anything. And I would say that by far the most difficult years of my life and my career were 2011 and 12. Those years were very difficult because I was away from home. I didn't have anything. I didn't even have money to actually rent an apartment in the beginning. Like, it was difficult times. But at the end of the day, you know, all these difficult times is what makes you It what makes me who I am today. You know, a hard work person, a person that don't give up, a person that's always grinding, a person that always good, trying to get better. I'm a very perfectionist person. You know, like tonight, yeah, I'm very, very happy. We won. We did everything that we needed to do. And tomorrow, I guarantee I'm gonna watch the race and I'm gonna write down a few things that I could have done better, because I know that for next time that we come here, if I do the same thing, probably I won't win the race. I want to have to be better. And everyone else is going to do the same thing. So that's the mentality that you have to have. You know, you have to always continue to evolve. And I felt that my team is doing the same thing. We're on the same page. I'm hungry. I want to win races. I want to fight for championships. And I felt like my team and I, Trackhouse, and my sponsors, we are all on the same page.
All right, we have one final question back there.
Yeah, Daniel, Brad Harrison from frontstretch.com. You guys came close to win here last July with the weather and everything else. How much of a redemption is winning a close one here tonight?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good. Last time here, we finished second. And I don't know if you guys know this, but second sucks. Second is not fun. It's not fun to know that. Actually, sometimes third is better, because at least you know that there were a couple guys ahead of you. But when you finish second and the guy finished first is celebrating, it's difficult, you know, because you know that you were only one spot away. But you know, we learn from that. We grow from that. And like I said, you know, we have had fast race cars. I feel like last year We had an opportunity to win a few races. But I have mentioned this in the past. You know, the strong teams, they win 5-6 races a year, but they had opportunities to win 15 races a year. You know, if I had three opportunities to win races, you know, everything has to fail in part. Everything, the execution part has to go perfect to be able to get it done. You know, so really you have to fast. If you want to win 5 races, you have to be in contention for 15 times at least, you know, to be able to, everything fell in place. So that's what I told Matt Swiderski, Squid, the very first time we met. And I said, man, I need more opportunities out there, you know, like if I have the fastest car, you know, once a month, we're going to win races, but we have to do it as consistent as possible and make ourselves, make our team a habit to be strong and to be upfront. And when we do that, when we put the grind and the work, you know, I think we are going to be able to hold ourselves to a high standard.
We'll take one last question here with Lee Spencer.
Lee Spencer, GetFriends.com. Daniel, Ross was so happy for you in victory lane, and he was talking about how much you push him to be better. He says you outwork him in the gym. You never gave up last year when times got tough, and that the two of you just end up, you know, it's like a friendly competition where you just push each other to be better. What does that mean to have somebody that you can rely on and, you know, same age, same, you know, work ethic, and just push you to be the best?
You know, if you guys actually think about it, Ross and I, we are very different. We're very different as people. We're very different, but we have a lot of similarities. And the biggest similarities that we have, what I have found, are a few. One is that nothing was given to him. You know, he had to work hard as well, just like I did. Different paths, different journeys, but we both had to work hard. From every single team that I have had in the past before Trackhouse, I was outworking every single team I had. I knew I was working harder. I knew that I wanted things to happen. And Ross, honestly, he works hard. You know, him and I, we hold ourselves to a high standard. Not just training, but in the studies that we do, in the preparation that we do. And that's great because I know how good he is. He knows what I can do as well, and we continue to push each other to a higher level. But the little things, you know, like just training, just like having conversations, just like in the simulator, we continue to push ourselves to be better. And I really appreciate a lot of him, you know, being in victory lane, being happy for me. I was extremely happy for him as well, the last race of last season when he won the race. And winning the race in the fashion that he did, he dominated that race. It's quite special. So you know, I think Ross and I, we actually, like I said, we are very different. But we, when it comes to competition and the journey that we have had, it's quite similar. And I feel like we complement extremely well, and we push each other to always be better. And that also happens on the team side. You know, his engineers, his crew chiefs, they do a great job. And I feel like, you know, in the past, they have always pushed the 99 to keep evolving. And I feel like right now we are in the point where we are going to continue to push each other, not just in the driver's side, but also on the team side.
All right, Daniel, before we let you go, we have a few questions for you in Spanish from our friends that are watching from the feed. So, Daniel, háblanos un poco de la última vuelta. ¿Qué pasaba por tu mente?
Pues bueno, la última vuelta fue un poquito loca. Yo sabía que necesitaba obtener ayuda de la parte de atrás, empujones, para poder llegar a atacar a Blaney. Tuve un buen empujón en la recta trasera, que casi llego en la parte trasera de Blaney, pero no lo pude. De hecho, tuve un buen momento en la parte, se me movió mucho la parte de atrás y ahí perdí el momento. Y en la última vuelta, pues bueno, en la última vuelta yo sabía que estaba en la posición correcta, yo sabía que estando en la parte de afuera estaba en el lugar correcto. Sin embargo, el piloto que me estaba ayudando a mí era su coequipero. Entonces, obviamente, no me iba a dar un gran empuje, me iba a dar un pequeño empuje, sí, acaso. Entonces, fue un poquito difícil, pero bueno, al final del día se dieron las cosas y es lo más importante.
¿Y cómo te sientes en este momento ya con tu segunda victoria del año?
Muy contento, muy contento, muy contento por mi equipo. Se siente muy bien ganar carreras, pero ganarlas en la segunda carrera del año es muy importante. Esto no solamente me da confianza a mí, a todo mi equipo y a todos los patrocinadores y a toda la gente que me sigue apoyando. Y estoy seguro que nos vamos a ver aquí más seguido.
Y bueno, la última. Te graduaste del programa de Drive for Diversity. Ahora puedes decir que ganaste en el aniversario, ya 20 años. ¿Qué puedes decir del programa que te vio crecer y qué le aconsejas a los pilotos que quieren llegar a este nivel?
Sí, pues bueno, mira, si no hubiera sido por el programa de diversidad de NASCAR, yo no estaría aquí. Ellos fueron los que realmente me ayudaron, me enseñaron y me dieron una oportunidad para yo poder seguir creciendo en el mundo de NASCAR. Y bueno, por siempre estaré agradecido. Y eso, ese es mi consejo, que realmente todos los nuevos pilotos que vienen en camino de México, Latinoamérica, de Europa, de todos lados, que realmente aprovechen estas oportunidades y que aprendan, que tengan la mente abierta para siempre seguir aprendiendo. Y sinceramente creo que este programa el día de hoy es mucho más fuerte que cuando yo estaba, y el programa sigue creciendo y sigue fortaleciéndose más para poder apoyar pilotos no solamente a correr ARCA, pero también el siguiente paso en las camionetas y demás, que es algo que es muy difícil de hacer y muy importante de que estos pilotos de otros países y pilotos mujeres y pilotos de color puedan tener estas oportunidades.
Muchísimas gracias y felicidades.
Gracias. Thank you.